Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, titled The Sheep and the Goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. And I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, here we are, Matthew 25, 31 to 46. We've had three little passages as we've been going through this Matthew 25. The parable of the 10 virgins, are you prepared? Are you ready for the coming of Jesus? And then the second one, the 10 bags of gold, or the bags of gold, the talents, however you want to read it and interpret it. But it basically is saying, are you using what God's given you to be profitable for the kingdom, or are you just holding on to it and using it for no one and for no one's purpose, and you're so it's useless? Because God gives us all gifts and talents. And then today, Keith Green, well, he was the one who taught me this one, but here it is, the sheep and the goats. And I just love it. The song when Keith Green was singing it, back in the 70s it was written. And he just culminates, and this song gets faster and faster, and as he builds it up, and then he gets to this point when the Christians are saying, But when, Lord, when did we feed you, and when did we serve you, and when did we? And he said, you know, it's when you did it for the least of my brethren, when you came and visited me in the prison, when you picked me up off the street, that were there, when you clothed me, when you sheltered me. Come. But then there's the harshness, because there were those who didn't do. And he says, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Christianity is not, it's not clothing that we put on. It is our lifestyle. And as Matthew wrote this beautiful gospel, this training manual for the early church, I suspect as he got to this passage, he was saying, be the people who speak more loudly with your actions than with your mouths. This oracle song, the difference between the sheep and the goat. The goats, I mean, from a distance, if you're driving past paddocks, and I love going for a drive in the country and for different reasons, but when you see off in the distance what looks like sheep, sometimes you come across them and you go, actually they're goat. They're goats, you know. And then sometimes it's the other way around. And see, we just sometimes need to remember that from a distance they can look quite different. But up front, up close and personal, there are two distinctive things about a goat that is different to a sheep. The first, very distinctly, is their look. And the second is their smell. Goats are always on the nose. True, true, true. Oh, this is, here we are, we're getting towards the end of the Christian year. And next week is Christ the King Sunday. And so just as we lead up to it, it's almost like our Christmas day of the Christmas year. I cheekily say that. But it's our week before. So as we head into our last week, how would you reflect on the last year? How would you just think about how the year's been going for you as a Christian? Is this the best year you've ever had? Or is it just another plain year? Maybe it's been a hard season. I know for me, you know, this year I've lost my father. I've lost my stepbrother-in-law. And some of my dear friends have come down with cancers. Others have come through the other side of cancers, but with different forms of illnesses that have attached themselves to them because of it. Some of the people from our playgroup have had different illnesses and challenges. I've buried friends. I've stood graveside with many people. It's been a tough year in some regards. But then at the same time, our playgroup at the church has grown. Our Let's Chat in English is bubbling away. It's just beautiful to see what's happening there. And so there's some really good things. And, you know, Sam and I got away for an amazing holiday, a couple of them this year, that has just rejuvenated the soul. After the number of years of COVID and just ins and outs, and we've just found our group. You know, I had my review this year, and the church had its review. Both came back with sparkles all over it and smiles. So it was great. It's been, in one sense, a great year, and in another sense, there's been the toughness of the year. Well, you know, we live real lives in a real world, and sometimes we want to put on this facade or our makeup and hide what the reality of what's going on. You know, there's a difference between displays and the reality of living. Do you know when you see a mannequin in a window looking awesome in a new outfit and you think to yourself, dang, that would look awesome on me. So you go get that new outfit, you take it home and put it on, and it just doesn't hang right. It just doesn't seem to hang on you the way it did in the shop. You know, it's funny, my niece, beautiful girl, she got married earlier, yep, last year. And just awesome. Marries this Andrew, and so Beth and Andrew are married, and when I was first introduced to Andrew, I was introduced to him as a model. Now, you would think, how lucky you are. How lucky you are as an uncle to have a nephew-in-law who's a model. And to look at him, he's no Greek Adonis. And I said the first time I saw him, I said, oh, gee, you're a model. He's not ugly, I'm just saying. And he goes, oh, yes, well, I'm a fitting model. He said, in fact, my shoulder width and my hip width and my toe-to-nose width at length is so perfect that I'm the one they work out to fit clothes onto mannequins. I now call him the hand model because no one's interested in his head. They're interested in other parts of his body. It's very funny. But, you know, how we want to look, how we want our Christian lives to look versus the reality of how they really look to everyone else is sometimes vastly different. The biggest problem is Christianity is not an outfit nor accessory. It's just the real deal of who you are. Just you. People are the salt of the earth, not based on the clothes that they're wearing, but on their heart and where their heart is with Jesus and how their heart is for their community, yeah? And so it's not just something that they wake up in the morning and go, well, today I have to be nice to people in Jesus' name. No. They're nice to people in Jesus' name every day because they're naturally dispensed that way because of their faith in Christ Jesus, amen. There's a Christian accountability that comes in. This whole chapter is about accountability, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. It's not how we want people to see us. It's really how you are all of the time. You know, that old adage of the Sunday Christian is gone. We still have to engage this and not just think it miraculously happens, that this who we are just miraculously happens. You know, I became a Christian, so I'm nice. Now, if you haven't done any work on your faith, you might think, I have become a Christian, I'm nice now. And you might actually not be nice, because you might not have changed your heart or challenged your attitudes and made sure they're in alignment with where Jesus would have them. Just because you have the name Christian doesn't mean you don't have to work at being a Christian. I suppose in one sense, it's like the person who immigrates from a foreign country to Australia. And they choose to be an Australian. Doesn't matter whether they've come from an African or an Asian or a European background, an island background, doesn't matter. If they choose to come here, they then choose to take on what it means to be Australian. And that's varied and different, just like the denominations of the church are varied and different. But at the heart of it all is Jesus. And so you have to actually take it on. Now, if you come here and you never engage in any aspect of the Australian lifestyle or the Australian ethos or the Australian ways or the Australian laws or the Australian governance, then you haven't really become an Australian. But just the same way as a Christian. If you say, oh, I'm becoming a Christian, but I don't read the Bible and I don't pray to God and I don't go in fellowship with brothers and sisters and I don't think, you know, it's a personal thing. You don't challenge. No. But likewise, comparisons can be unhelpful. Sometimes they can be helpful, but unhelpful. We usually go into comparison mode where we check ourselves against other people. When it comes to accountability, we go, so how am I doing compared to others? Are we better than them or worse than them? Really? Let me tell you how biased you're going to be. I'm going to compare myself to people I know that are worse than me. The comparison is only against your call. You know, God, when he doesn't compare you to anything apart from, I called you to be my loving child, my beautiful servant. I gifted you, empowered you. This is what we're talking about in the earlier parts of this chapter. And mixed with your gifts and talents, he God compares. That's your call. That's your call. That's your blessing. How do you engage it? That's the only comparison God could make. Because he doesn't compare you to anyone else. Because he loves everyone equally. You know, it's a beautiful thing that God has. Imagine this, right? So I think this is a cheeky way of looking at it. You know, Jesus had a brother called James. Can you imagine the comparison made between these two lads? Can you imagine Mary and Joseph sitting there? James, why can't you act as nicely as your brother? James, why can't you turn water into wine? James, why can't you heal some lame people for once? James, you're not doing as well in swimming lessons as Jesus. And James is there going, hold on, he's not swimming either. He's just walking on the water. James, that's a nice bracelet. What does it say? WWJD. What would James do? Oh, no. It's much better if it says, what would Jesus do? Oh, he's such a good role model. Imagine dinner time. James, say grace and don't forget to thank your brother for the meal again, even if it is loaves and fishes, but it's a feast. Mum, he's made me pick up a basket of extra food again. Imagine James's only comeback. Mum, I wrote a book. It's got published. It's in the Bible. I wrote a book. Mary and Joseph sit there and look at each other lovingly and go, yes. But Jesus inspired it. Comparisons. Let's not get into them. How do you treat people? Well, the image we're given about how we treat people is of what would we treat them if they're our own family? Comparison is not something you are gifted with. It's something you choose to... Oh, sorry. Compassion is something you're not gifted with. It's something you actually choose to have. I think there are some people who naturally have a little bit more compassion than other people. But you've got to choose to be compassionate. Everyone can choose to be uncompassionate. Yeah. Chuck Smith. Pastor Chuck Smith of the Jesus Revolution in the 60s. He was a minister in a dying church, caught up in a tradition and safe ways of worship, and he then encounters the hippie movement. I think there was a wonderful thing he said to his daughter. If God wants me to minister to the hippies, then he'll have a hippie come sit in my room and talk to me about it. A couple of days later, there's a hippie sitting in his room talking to him about how people are searching for the truth and searching for love. And that's what the hippies were all after, was truth and love. And what happens? He changes his way. He had a reluctant engagement that grew to a full-blown hippie revival and started the Calvary Chapels across the world. It moved tens of thousands of people in its first year and continues to move people today. You know, they used to go down every weekend, down to the ocean, down to the beach, and they would baptize people. People who would just turn up and say, I just feel that I'm going to find the truth here. I'm going to feel the love of God here. Come into the water. Do you take Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I do. Baptism. Every weekend. They didn't turn up because they had a list of people who wanted to get baptized. They turned up faithfully because they knew there would be people who wanted to be baptized who would just turn up and say, today is the day I give my life to Christ. Their church was so small that it could not cope with the thousands of people who started coming along. Are to be challenged by God. It's the difference between what we did and didn't do. And Pastor Chuck Smith had to make a difficult decision. Does he stay with the foundational fundamentalist members of his church, or does he step forward into the hippie movement? Well, he did what God called him to do. So who are you and who am I when no one's looking? The people in this story today turn and ask, when did we do this, Lord? It was done when you thought no one could see you doing it as good work apart from God himself. You know, I've got mates who are salvos, and a salvo was stopped for a drunk, a hurt, a dishevelled, a drug-affected person in 2 in the morning, at 5 in the afternoon, at midday. Doesn't matter where they are, they'll stop for them to make sure they're okay. Why? Because that's what they do. That's where they see the hands and feet of Christ. But would we? Now, before you get down on yourself, brothers and sisters, a word of assurance of faith. Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It lets us to enter the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus entered on our behalf. See, God says this. Just you, just me. Come have a chat. Just as you are. Come have a chat. Where are you at? And if you're not getting it right, let's talk about that and the struggles you have in getting it right. If you are getting it right, let's have a chat. See how we can make it even better again. How we can bless others. You know, that's the graciousness of God. He doesn't call you in there to smack you, to kill you, to hurt you, to destroy you. He calls you in to uplift you. You know, Christ the King Sunday, as I said, is next week. It's our kind of culmination of the year, the final Sunday of the year. So this is the second last Sunday in our Christian year. And I know it's a weird time, but actually it's because the 3rd of December is the start of Advent. And that's the start of the coming of Christ into the world. This service checks our lives up with God in a healthy way and ponders, what does tomorrow hold as we prepare for a new year? New Year's resolutions, maybe. I suspect many of us have had New Year's resolutions in the past. Some have not changed, just the date of fruition have. I'm going to lose weight this year, next year, the year after, the year after. You know what it's like. So as we look back on the last 12 months, what would we do differently as we head into this new year? Would our prayer life be different? Our devotional life different? How are we the hands and feet of Christ here in this church, here in the greater community, that others would see Jesus? So remember that last 2 weeks, Matthew's training manual, the gospel calls us to be prepared for Christ's return and to be accountable for the gifts and talents God has poured into our lives. This week he hits us with the kicker. Society in all shapes and forms is watching you, and it speaks louder than words, and they're watching you all the time, all the time. See, in this parable, in this oracle, the difference between the sheep and the goats is what they did and didn't do. So if all we're doing is exactly the same as what society's doing, then I'll tell you now, society notices it and says, there's no difference between what the sheep and the goats are doing. The easy option for us as a church from the start of COVID was to sit back and wait for the cure, wait for it to pass, wait and wait and wait, and well, really do nothing. But COVID's still here, isn't it? And God still calls us forward, and God still calls us to minister. You know, and in the midst of all of this, I'm so proud of my church that in the midst of this past season of difficulty and challenge and change, with caution, care and generous concern, we can still find precious way to do God's will for our church and community and to grow and spread the arms of love and care. The God's good gifts, hey? And I love how God entrusts those gifts to us. Entrusts them to us. He doesn't sit there and say, oh, you know, just go pick a few. No, he preciously picks up a gift and gives it to you. He says, I'm entrusting this to you. Go use it. See, you are the right person in the right place at the right time so that the community, not just the brothers and sisters in church, would be blessed and have a taste of God's good love for them all. Yeah. So when you look around, what do you see? What do you see when you look around? It's words of a song that said, look around you, can you see? Times of trouble and people grieve. See the violence, feel the hardness. And what does Jesus say? All my people weep with me. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. But they actually sing, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison. And the words of the song go on to say this, walk among them, I'll go with you. Reach out to them with my hands. Suffer with me and together. We will serve them and help them stand. Forgive us, our Father, hear our prayer. We would walk with you anywhere, through the suffering, with forgiveness. Take your life into the world. Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. Do you know, that was a powerful song from the 80s. And I don't think it's sung enough in our churches or in our hearts of our lives enough today. Our call is to be the church in our community. God has the right people at the right time to do his goodwill. Matthew's gospel does not at any stage direct Christians to hang out in churches and focus everything there. No. The focus is on the other 6 days of the week when we live and breathe Christ into our society. Corporate worship has a place. Always will, always must. Always will, always must. It's where we come and focus on God. We set aside the things of our week and we're encouraged and strengthened in our walk, fellowshipping and empowering with each other for the week ahead. And we look forward to it and it fills our tank and it uplifts the downtrodden and the broken. It restores and renews. And it does it corporately and we need that. And it lets us share as a body in the testimonies of Christ. But 6 days, the other 6 days, 6 days for do, or 1 day for renew. There's a new phrase for you. I was thinking of that. 6 days for do, 1 day for renew. Come along and renew. But make sure those other 6 days, they're the days for do. Don't look at us 7 days for a renew. No. That's not God. This week, let us not compare ourselves to others, but rather let us step forward boldly into a new tomorrow and serve with all our being. May the words of liberation be on our lips for those who seek Jesus. May it be your sins are forgiven. And we say, thanks be to God. Amen. Have a blessed week.